Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Thursday, September 13th, 2018. We are reading from the Big Book on page 111, the last paragraph, when a discussion does arise, through six paragraphs, ending on page 113 with his recovery may be delayed, and commenting on all six paragraphs. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Elena A.M., the 12 Traditions, Laura A., and readers of the text, Liz T., Cheryl A., and Liat T.D. The reference numbers for Wednesday, September the 12th, the 10 a.m. meeting, 11908, and Thursday, September the 13th, the 7 a.m. meeting, 11912. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Elena A.M. to read the 12 steps.
My name is Elena A.M., and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for this service opportunity, and I pass.
Thank you, Elena A.M. Laura A., press star 1, please.
Hello, this is Laura A. from New Hampshire, recovered compulsive eater. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Got caught in that mute disaster. 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous and except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you, Laura A. How our meeting works. Sorry, our sole purpose. Oh, I'm sorry. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 111, the last paragraph, when a discussion does arise through 6 paragraphs ending on page 113 with his recovery may be delayed and commenting on all. Liz T., could you read for us, please?
Good morning. This is Liz T., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And we'll be starting on the bottom of 111. When a discussion does arise, you might suggest he read this book or at least the chapter on alcoholism. Tell him you have been worried, though perhaps needlessly. You think he ought to know the subject better, as everyone should have a clear understanding of the risk he takes if he drinks too much. Show him you have confidence in his power to stop or moderate. Say you do not want to be a wet blanket, that you only want him to take care of his health. Thus, you may succeed in interesting him in alcoholism. He probably has several alcoholics among his own acquaintances. You might suggest that you both take an interest in them. Drinkers like to help other drinkers. Your husband may be willing to talk to one of them. If this kind of approach does not catch your husband's interest, it may be best to drop the subject. But after a friendly talk, your husband will usually revive the topic himself. This may take patient waiting, but it will be worth it. Meanwhile, you might try to help the wife of another serious drinker. If you act upon these principles, your husband may stop or moderate. Suppose, however, that your husband fits the description of number 2. The same principles which apply to husband number 1 should be practiced. But after his next binge, ask him if he would really like to get over drinking for good. Do not ask that he do it for you or anyone else. Just would he like to? The chances are he would. Show him your copy of this book and tell him what you have found out about alcoholism. Show him that as alcoholics, the writers of the book understand. Tell him some of the interesting stories you have read. If you think he will be shy of a spiritual remedy, ask him to look at the chapter on alcoholism. Then perhaps he will be interested enough to continue. If he is enthusiastic, your cooperation will mean a great deal. If he is lukewarm or thinks he is not an alcoholic, we suggest you leave him alone. Avoid urging him to follow our program. The seed has been planted in his mind. He knows that thousands of men, much like himself, have recovered. But don't remind him of this after he has been drinking, for he may be angry. Sooner or later, you are likely to find him reading the book once more. Wait until repeated stumbling convinces him he must act, for the more you hurry him, the longer his recovery may be delayed. Oh, wow, a lot comes up for me in this reading today. I love that they reference the chapter more about alcoholism. I also like to think of that chapter as more about relapse. It's a chapter that talks about, in great detail, the mental twist, the obsession of the mind that we are up against. It's one thing to put the food down and be relieved of the physical allergy once our alcoholic ingredients and behaviors are down, step one. But if this was just a step one program, we wouldn't need the preceding steps 2 through 12 of this program. We would just put it down like we would put down any other allergy. You wouldn't keep rolling around in poison ivy if you're going to get a rash. You wouldn't keep hitting your head with the hammer if you're going to get a headache. You wouldn't keep touching a hot stove if you're going to get burned. You wouldn't keep eating strawberries if you're going to break out in hives and have your throat closed. So we don't need Strawberries Anonymous. We don't need a hammer to your head anonymous. We don't need poison ivy anonymous. But I need Overeaters Anonymous because I have put down ingredients and behaviors many times. I've gone on diets. But it's that mental obsession, that mental twist that's going to work on me underground, man. And even throughout the steps process, you know, maybe it's in step 9 or 10 that I want to ease up on the program and rest on my laurels. Maybe it's in step 11 and 12. It's a daily reprieve. So part of my recovery is getting on this line every day, giving back in service. I have been blessed with the gift of entire abstinence, the willingness to put down those behaviors and ingredients. I've been blessed with the willingness to work with others in step 12 after I've been through all 12 steps myself and been relieved of the mental obsession on a daily basis. So I love the instructions here and the suggestions. You know, if they aren't quite convinced, leave them alone and move on to someone else. Find someone you can help. That's a great reminder to me. I can't force this program on anyone. You know, I have to look at how hard it was for even myself to accept what I needed to do. And it's a great suggestion to review the More About Alcoholism chapter. There's 4 stories in there, the Man of 30, Jim and Fred, the Jaywalker. All of these guys made the insane decision to pick up after a period of abstinence, failing to enlarge their spiritual life. How many times did I do that? I can have compassion for sponsees that struggle. I can have compassion for fellows that struggle because, you know, at the end of the day, it's all a race against our mind, this mental obsession, this disease of thinking, this disease of wanting more of something, more of everything. And it needs to be, for me, more recovery, more serenity, getting the effect from the steps process rather than effect from substances or people or places or things. So I'm guessing I'm pretty close to my 3 minutes, and I will pass. Thanks for allowing me the opportunity to share.
Thank you, Liz T. The line is now open. If you'd like to share on what was read, please say your name just
Wendy
once,
M.
as it helps me hear everybody.
Wendy M.
Yeah, I got you, Wendy. Thank you.
Ginger C.
Kelly T.
Kathleen O.
Jen A.
Okay, let me tell you the lineup that I got because I missed somebody. I have Wendy M, Ginger C, somebody T, Kathleen O, and Jen A. Who was the T? Nobody? Okay, let's go with that lineup then. Wendy M, can you start off for us, please?
Yes, happily, Wendy M, gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Great, absolutely. So the reason I'm chiming in is because I didn't know how to do relationships, and my eating was all about not knowing how to do relationships. I was a bulldozer. I was deeply impatient. My motives were always, what can I get out of this situation? I was aggressive. I wanted my way, right? And so I'd eat because I couldn't relate. And what these pages or these paragraphs do is they show me how to be in a relationship, right? Whether I'm the addict in this scenario or I'm the wife, it doesn't matter. I'm both. I'm all of them, right? Because it's just about how to relate to another human being, whether it's about alcoholism or compulsive overeating, right? Things like showing confidence in their power, right? Or dropping subjects, drop the subject. And, you know, my solution was not to drop subjects. It was to continue to talk about the subject over and over and over until I finally felt like I could get my way, you know, by doing that. Or it says here, takes patient waiting. I mean, I'm just beginning to understand the word patient, just beginning, you know, to do that. And the other is, you know, only have the alcoholic or the addict, compulsive overeater, only if he wants to stop, right? So I have to stay in my own swim lane in relationships with people. Leave him alone, avoid urging. I mean, these are contrary actions for me, you know, but I need to read them because I need to learn how to do this. And, you know, it goes on and on. And I have to say that, like, as an addict, don't tell me what to do. Do not comment on my body size. Do not comment on my food. Don't comment on my defects or anything about me. Just don't comment, right? Deeply, deeply defensive. And the only time I was able to actually begin to have a conversation about all of these subjects was when I entered the rooms of OA 17 years ago, right? And that's the miracle. When we walk into the room, we have the courage to walk into the room and to talk about these things that are secret, things that I don't want you to talk about. I begin to talk about them, you know, and it's the language of the heart, right? You've got this thing, I've got this thing. And the miracle is that today I'm entirely abstinent and I'm neutral with food. And more to the point, I'm just beginning to really have amazing relationships with other human beings. I'm learning so much about how to do that. And because of that, I can be free. I can be with God, right? I don't have to be addicted to people anymore. Thank you, God. My source doesn't have to be people. My source is my source. It's my higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M. Ginger C, it's your turn, followed by Kathleen O.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for your service. This is Ginger C, recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I am just so grateful to this meeting that we decided to read Two Wives and continue with these chapters. This is absolutely my life today. My husband is here, and he's eating, and it's none of my business. And I have to stay in my own lane and just recover. So thank God for these directions. They are helping me so much because it says in this paragraph, if this kind of approach does not catch your husband's interest, it may be best to drop the subject, Ginge. Stop pushing and prodding. Leave the man alone. He's not ready. And who's sicker than who? The person eating or the person that's like desperately trying to convince them and work with them? So it's best to drop the subject, leave it alone, and then be patient. This whole addiction world and recovery is about a higher power. And when that window rolls down, and if it rolls down for that person who is still suffering, whoever that may be in your life, that's just God's grace. We are all here because of God's grace. So the thing that I get to continue as I go through this paragraph is, see, meanwhile, you might try to help the wife of another serious drinker work with another. I get to help another. Because if I don't have it, how can I begin to give it away? And if I start focusing too much on these outside places, am I leaning out or am I leaning in? Because the only thing keeping me safe and protected from picking up that bite that's so desperate to get back in my mouth is a higher power. And the only way I stay connected is staying fit spiritually by working 10 and 11, 12, like my hair's on fire. And I will say almost 3 years now, I have not stopped, and I pray I never stop because I cannot afford to eat. If I eat, I don't think I'll get back. I don't think I have another recovery in me. And my family is counting on me today. They love who they have as a mother and a wife, except when I nag on him. Thank God I don't do it that often, but I do go there because I'm human. And really, I go there because of 112 on the top. You know, it says, I just want to see him take care of his health. I know the reality of sugar. It's an inflammation. It produces cancer, heart disease, and diabetes, and many other sicknesses. It's real, and it kills. So I just want to see his health return. But it's between him and his higher power, and I'm going to let God steer. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Kathleen O., it's your turn, followed by Jen A.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. And great to be on this line with everybody and in this chapter. I had parents that did not have food addictions, or any addictions, actually. I was very fortunate. So my parents couldn't relate to what was going on with me around food. And, and you know, my mother would, if I ever expressed any interest in losing weight, my mother would always be very helpful in whatever diet, you know, I decided to try. But, of course, diets don't fix the problem at all. They don't. There's no solution in a diet. And that planting of the seed, I think it's really, you know, this chapter is telling us to, you know, have patience and you know, if this is, yeah, kind of an Al-Anon thing, have patience, you know, if, and that's not me that's making that background noise, you know, have patience and be helpful if the person wants it. And if not, to leave them alone. And that always worked better with me. It did not help when someone tried to get me to do something I didn't want to do as far as losing weight. It would make me literally eat more, you know, because I'd be annoyed. And so, you know, we're so fortunate to be on this line and where there's so much recovery on this line. And my hope is that you know, everyone has the opportunity, you know, to be recovered. We do have the opportunity. My hope is that everybody gets recovered, you know, who works this program. And it really is about, you know, if the seed's been planting and you want it to grow, find someone who can guide you through these steps, because it's all about having a spiritual awakening through the result of these steps, that we get the freedom from the food and we no longer fight anyone or anybody and or anything. And, you know, when you come in, it shouldn't be why, but okay. And if you just go along with it, you will recover. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. And just a gentle reminder, please, if you aren't Gen A, and if you have a barking dog, could you please press *1 to mute your phone? Gen A, it's your turn.
Good morning. This is Jen, a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic from the beautiful state of Colorado. Wow. You know, for me, hold on. I got a call coming in. Go away. So for me today, I'm just reminded that it's not my job, right? The writing's on the wall for the other person, and they don't see it yet, right? They don't have the magic decoder marker that's going to bring up the words that says, you're an addict, right? And so I don't have to figure that out for somebody else. And I definitely can't drag them through the work, and I can't tell them what to do. The book clearly defines for me in these principles, tell them, show them, and then shut up. And that's what it says to me. And so, you know, I'm dealing with kids, 16-year-old kids. And like I said, and I'll repeat it again on the line today, I said yesterday, I got to lean back. I got to listen. I got to love the person where they're at. And then I got to let God do the work. That's what I got to do. That's what I'm called to do. And then myself, I got to recover, because that's the only way I'm going to be able to be good for anybody else. So I just love that we're reading this. Thank you for including it, A Vision for You. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jen A. For those of us just coming on the line, we are on page 111. We started with the last sentence, when a discussion does arise, and we're reading through six paragraphs ending on page 113 with his recovery may be delayed, and we're commenting on all. If you'd like to share, please say your name just once so I can hear you. Who'd like to share?
Kelly T.
Donna Lisa J.R.
Kelly T.
Is that Kelly?
Donna
or Deb?
Yeah.
Debbie?
Kelly T. Kelly T.
Kelly T. Okay, and there was somebody J.R.
Lisa J.R. Thanks.
Okay, and then who else?
Donna W. Donna W.
Okay. Yeah, gotcha. Who else? Okay, let's go with that. We have Kevi T,
Sherry D,
Lisa. Okay, and Sherry B. So it's Kevi T,
Katie
Lisa
D.
J.R., and Katie G. All right.
Sorry, Lynn.
Okay, that's okay, Katie. So our lineup is Kevi T,
Sherry K.B.,
Lisa J.R., Donna W., Sherry B., and Katie G. Kevi T, can you start for us, please?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Hi, I'm Kelly T from New York City. Wow, I never really focused so much on these chapters. It was always steps 1 through 12. And going into the wives, I am realizing my behaviors and how I react when people don't want to get recovered. I'm like, why don't you want this? I even seen that in my sponsees, ex-sponsees. Like, I had one recently who, oh, we're not going to be a good match, because the idea of her letting go of her old ideals was like, oh, hell no, I'd rather find another sponsor who's going to stick to my way of doing things. Because every time I suggested something, she always had like a comment to say about it and had an excuse. And I thought about it like, oh, wow, Kelly, that was you when you first got into the rooms. I remember when I first walked into the rooms, I always had an excuse of why I shouldn't let go of whatever I had to let go. And I had to find so much patience and reach out to fellows and my sponsor, because I was like, I don't know how to deal with this. And I'm learning like, wow, we are all the same. It just helps me. It humbles me to see that we are all the same. And all the things my old sponsors had to put up with me. Because I went through 7 sponsors. So they put up with a lot of crap of me when I first got into their rooms, because I was not willing to listen. If I'm not ready, I'm not going to hear you. And so a lot of them wasted so much time trying to help me. And it's not worth it. I used to get offended when sponsor would drop me, but today I'm like, you know what? It would be a disservice, a waste of my time, if they're not ready. If they don't come back, that's on them. I have to continue to help others, because if I stay if I'm putting more into their recovery, how am I really helping them? I'm not. It's a waste of time and energy that I could use on somebody else who really wants this program. And you know what? I'm okay with that. And it's just a learning. It's been such a learning experience the last couple of weeks, having different sponsees, having them go, and today I'm okay with that. I'm at peace because I'm doing my part. I'm carrying the message. And thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Kelly T. Lisa J.R., it's your turn, followed by Donna W.
Hi, Lisa J.R. here, gratefully recovered in Baltimore, Maryland. Thank you for your service, moderator. When I first came into the rooms of, Overeaters Anonymous, I jumped around from meeting to meeting and kicked the tires a lot for about a year, did a lot of negotiating with the disease, cafeteria style. And I came upon a meeting at 10 p.m. Eastern time, just a generic Big Book meeting. And I heard this woman, and she happened to be a member of Vision for You family. And she was a devout atheist, which, you know, as the strong faith walk that I had in my life, it's just really ironic that she pointed me to Vision for You. She did no preaching. I heard her night after night share her experience, strength, and hope on this, OA line, the main OA phone line. And she did it with dignity and steadiness and peace and serenity. And I really wanted that. So I called her, and she pointed me to Vision for You. And then, wow, I listened. I came to scoff, and I remained to pray, because I love what it says on the top of 113, then perhaps he will be interested enough to continue. So, I was ready. I was skeptical, the Big Book. And I heard all these people, and it was immediately like this veil had been torn from in front of my eyes. You know, I could see a way out. I could see how far I was from my higher power, really. I was doing gumball machine praying, and God was never giving me the answer to my prayer. And then, I see now that he brought me to Vision, and I remain to pray, and I am just so grateful, this woman, she was amazing, because there are people, we don't have to go out looking for people. There are people in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous in our local meetings on the regular phone line that have never even been introduced to the Big Book. So all we can do is what our beloved fellow says, recover, 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 and be nice and smile and be welcoming to people. And, it's a program of attraction. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. Donna W., it's your turn, followed by Sherry B.
Thank you so much. This is Donna W. calling from Palo Alto, California. So grateful to be abstinent and in recovery today. And I'm glad we're reading this this chapter as well. And let's see, what I'm learning from you and from the readings are that even though my husband may not be an addict, being a nag and trying to control him, I'm paying attention to that so that I don't have to nag and control him, but I can be loving. And then what it's really bringing up for me is, there's the, I'm the addict and I'm also the wife, like how I treat myself, because I get angry at myself. I'm not patient. I nag myself. I want to try to reform myself. And that leads to a lot of self-hatred. I heard on the line, I think it was Monday, it's not about the weight, it's about the hate. And that's where I'm at right now. I have a lot of that stuff coming up, like, how I'm treating myself. And if I'm nagging myself, trying to get myself to recover, that's not working. I need to love myself. I need to be smiling and welcoming, as the other previous speaker was saying, and then I just need to focus on the recovery and let God do all that work. But I'm still, I still feel like, and I heard someone share about this yesterday, I'm still trying to, make myself recover. And my higher power this morning was telling me, I just need to get on the beam. I don't have to figure out how to be recovered today. I just need to get on the beam. And if I fall, I just get back on the beam. And I'm just going to stay as close to my higher power as I can, because I still think, after I've been in a program 15 years, I still think it's up to me. So for me, the hardest part is really surrendering and not doing, not figuring it out, not like managing my recovery. So I'm praying to be patient, kind, tolerant, loving with myself today, get out of my own way, and let God do the work. Thank you. I pass.
And thank you, Donna W. Sherry B., it's your turn, followed by Katie G.
Hi there. This is Sherry D., compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for putting me on the list to talk. This is so perfect for me today in watching other fellows suffer. I have several sponsees, a couple of which are actually gaining weight in program, and the powerlessness over that is very painful. I met with a sponsee yesterday, and they're willing to do all the step work and uncover and work on all the childhood stuff, so it's very confusing because they're having spiritual awakenings left and right and telling me about how they've had psychic changes with things, but yet they're not willing to entirely because they haven't completely surrendered and they don't think that some of this food is a problem and they're not really binging. So it's this gray area and I am powerless over that. I can only be an example of how I've been maintaining a 6-size weight loss for all these years and what I eat and what I don't eat. And I have a sponsor who has been 50 pounds lighter and 50 pounds heavier. And she never talks about the food with me. And so it becomes this gray area of, it's almost felt like I was watching this fellow suffer with this disease. But I love what was said on the phone earlier, that I'm supposed to be, I guess, the lantern that brings people to God. And in that sense, I feel like my job has been completed and going through the big book with these sponsees and going through and working the steps precisely out of the big book. I've been doing that, and I have to leave the results to God and to the individuals and how this applies to my life. And by the way, thank you so much. I am so grateful to God for having me stumble upon these meetings because of it, I've now surrendered and given up my last comfort food, which was, you know, these gluten-free, sugar-free, vegan, paleo, faux desserts that I was using for comfort. And I'm getting married in less than a month for the first time. And I am completely surrendered to the fact that I chose not to have any cake there whatsoever. And that is a darn miracle. And I owe it directly to this, A Vision for You, because I wasn't willing before I got on these calls 2 months ago. So I'm so grateful. Thank you. Have a nice day, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Sherry B. Katie G., it's your turn.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, my fellows. It's KG, recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic. And, you know, when I came into the rooms, I thought I was desperate. But it took me a long time. Anyone who knows me knows I'm a fighter. I'm a fighter. I fight. And thank you, God. I'm not fighting today, right? Like, that's the miracle. Entire abstinence, black and white. My food is very, like, refraining from my allergic foods is actually very quite simple. It's like pregnancy, right? You're either pregnant or you're not. You're either abstinent, you're not. And thank you, God, for the women who taught me that. Thank you, God, for the sponsors who said, gee, Katie, you know, I can't continue to work with you. And I thought I was a victim for a very long time, but what I learned is that my behavior has consequences. And I didn't want it to, right? And I can only have a spiritual awakening if I'm entirely abstinent. And that is super, super important. You know, and I stayed in the rooms of OA. I never left. But until I was willing, to put the food down and do it entirely, like, you know, willingness is this, like, I don't know, it's like a piece of gold, right? Like, I wish I could give it to people. And I was talking to a woman this morning, and, you know, I offered to be her sponsor, and she's not sure. She just wants to do some research and blah, blah, blah. And the coolest thing that I know every day is that I don't know what's best for other people, right? Like I might ask like I do, act like I do, but I certainly don't. And there are moderate eaters and hard eaters that can go out and eat and look worse than me, and they don't need this, right? There are plenty of women and men sitting in OA who don't need what I do. And so the most important thing, and I think it's, you know, obviously in my marriage too, like drop the subject, Katie G. Get off the soapbox, Katie G. Like you don't know what's best for yourself. You don't know what's best for other people. Like who are you? Who are you? All I know is that my life has been completely transformed as the result of entire abstinence and doing the steps every single day, right? And, you know, I can't change other people. I can't give the gift of willingness, but I can share my experience. I'm not a teacher here. I'm just one among many sharing my experience, sharing the many failures that I've had trying to do this on my will, trying to do this without God, trying to do this without the steps. And I'll just close with, you know, somebody said to me earlier too, like, well, I don't ever want to be desperate. Desperation is the best place to be. The best place to be. It is the beginning of transformation. And please, God, help me continue to be desperate for this relationship with God every day. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Katie G. Just a reminder, we're on page 111, the last paragraph, when a discussion does arise, through six paragraphs ending on page 113 with his recovery may be delayed. Who would like to share on these paragraphs?
Cheryl A.
Sherry K. B.
Julie E. B.
Okay, so there was Cheryl A. Somebody.
Michelle
and
C.
Then Julie E. B.
Sherry K. B.
Sherry K. B. Okay, let's see how we do. We have Cheryl A., Sherry K. B., Julie E. B., and there was one more person.
Michelle C.
Okay, great. Let's go with that. We'll see if we can fit everybody in. Cheryl A., it's your turn.
Hi, this is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater from Boston, Massachusetts. It's so amazing that there's such specific instructions to the people who live with us about how to deal with us. And it's just, it reminds me just how complicated I am as an addict. And, you know, if it's this kind of an alcoholic, if it's the first kind, the second kind, the third kind, the fourth kind, I mean, not everybody is the real one too, but we're so complicated as a people, and it just reminds me that with people around me that have to. That want so badly for me to be in a recovered state, and that there's specific things that can push me over the edge or not. Like I'm now at the point where I think God can take responsibility, just like someone who has any other disease, whether it's diabetes or something else, and they have to sort of take responsibility for who they are. I've pounded my head against the wall trying to understand what it means to take responsibility for my disease. And it isn't just for me today about putting my food on the scale, which it is that. I have to put my food on a scale. Even my mom still says to me, after all these years, I've been in program 30 years, I've been weighing and measuring my food since 2004. You still have to put your food on the scale. I look at these judging eyes. Like, can't you just like, don't you know at this point? And I just have one of those diseases where I can make 4 ounces a lot bigger if I don't see the number 4. It's just who I am. But I can do that in my behaviors. I have to treat my disease every single day, or I'm going to have people dancing around me trying to figure out how to talk to me in the way that this talks to the wives. But if I take responsibility for my disease and who I am, and I do what this book tells me to do, I can recover. I can function like normal human beings function out there in the world. And even more so because the gift of this program is the gift of a relationship with God as I understand him. And that has been the great joy and engine of my life relative to being able to continue to grow as a human being. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Cheryl A. We have three people left in about 5 minutes. So if we could be 2 minutes or under, we can fit everybody in. So Sherry KB, it's your turn, followed by Julie EB.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Lynn, and everybody on the line. And, you know, I've been listening all week to this, and I haven't chimed in because I just wanted to, like, I don't know this chapter as well, but what struck me listening to everybody and through the week, you know, is that these stories and these descriptions and the answers of what to do for each compulsive overeater, you know, is telling us, giving us description of what to do with each number 1 through 4. And what this reminds me of is based on attraction rather than promotion, is that these are how to do attraction rather than trying to shove something down somebody's throat, because I know for me, I didn't like being told what to do. Don't tell me what to do. And this also, to me, makes me think about the different types of personalities of people I sponsor and how I work with them and suggestion reading that I give to them. And just that I know that, you know, if I put the book in front of somebody and I suggest that they read this rather than me trying to shove it down their throat, makes a difference. I know that when I go to face-to-face meetings, I always carry cards with me of a vision for you. And whenever the newcomer is coming around, we have an envelope that we give with all these newcomer things in it. I slip the card in with my phone number on it, and then ask. You know, I talk a lot about the big book, but I try to, like, you know, I always, this whole thing is based on attraction rather than promotion, and I love that it's giving directions with this, and of course with my higher powers' help. And I think, too, about my husband.
Time, please.
Thank you. I'll pass.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry KB. Julie EB and Michelle C, you've got about a minute and a half each. No pressure. Julie EB, your turn.
Hi, this is Julie EB, gratefully recovered in Colorado. Excited to be going to Denver Intergroup up at Estes Park and just hear some more Big Book this weekend. I'm just really thankful for the seed planting. And the person who planted the seed for me was my sponsor in another program who loved me through 5 years when I had no self, no idea who I was, watched me go up and down and in and out of the food, and then just invited me to her meeting where she received her 25-year chip. For Overeaters Anonymous, and that's my home meeting, and I learned there about this meeting. I'm so grateful to be recovered. We never know what seeds we're planting, and she planted them by loving me through a very dark time, and I'm grateful for all the sponsors on the line just doing their best to sponsor and for all the newcomers that are hearing the message, hearing the seeds, and will get recovery as they put down the food and work these steps. So thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie B. Michelle C., it's your turn. You've got about 2 minutes.
Hi, thank you. This is Michelle C. calling from Blaine, Washington. Good morning, everyone. Listening to the meetings this week on the chapter to wives has got me really thinking about how much my disease affects other people. I often think, I don't really affect other people that much, and so it doesn't really matter when I relapse. I'm only hurting me. And just going through this and hearing people share about all the different ways they've tried to help their spouses and loved ones, and then, you know, in the readings about all the different ways, well, if they're this kind of addict, you've got to approach them this way, and if they're that way, then try this. You know, it just kind of makes me wonder what other people have thought about how they could help me, it's just a good reminder to me that I do affect other people and how selfish I am when I'm in my disease. So thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Michelle C. Thank you to everyone who shared and to Team Thursday. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Cheryl A. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.